Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome to episode 192 of the English with Kirsty podcast. Today I have an interview with Jenny and we talk about our voice, how we can look after it and how we can use it effectively, specifically in online networking meetings, how to behave in online networking meetings, how to use your voice to come across well, and also how to think about, you know, making sure that your message is appropriate for that meeting and that it's authentic and it lets people know what you do without being an annoying sales pitch. So that's our interview for today. If you want to find out more about Jenny, you can go to the show notes page, which is englishwithkirsty.com/podcast/episode192, and all of Jenny's links will be there. I hope you enjoy it. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for joining us today on the English with Kirsty podcast.
Hey, thank you, Kirsty. It's lovely to be with you today.
Yeah, it's great that you're here. And I know what you do. Maybe you can let everyone else know what you do for people that haven't come across you before.
Absolutely. Very happy to tell you. So my work is really all about messaging and communication. So it's twofold, if you like. First of all, I'm a professional voiceover. So you'll often find me sitting in a small dark room talking to myself, which is far more fun than it sounds. And that can be anything, for example, from an e-learning script, perhaps meditation, or if a super project lands in my lap, that could be a kid's narration, kid's storytelling, that kind of thing, telephone systems, corporate narrations. So I work with clients in over 60 different countries to help them with their narration and recording. But also, since we've had a global interrupt in the last 18 months or so, I work an awful lot with people online in terms of online confidence and visibility, especially in terms of their messaging. So when I go to networking meetings online, I found that a lot of people were very reticent about showing up, pressing the buttons and joining Zoom meetings, especially when they felt that they had something to say but didn't know how to say it. So they were great at what they do, if you like, but not necessarily great at telling people what they do, and obviously weren't then getting the engagement that they were looking for. So I work with clients in terms of honing and shaping their messaging and helping them, if you like, to create messaging in the way that they would say it, so that it really, not only does it resonate with the audience, but also it's an authentic way for them to talk naturally about what they do and the service that they offer.
I think that's a really important skill to have, because it takes time to develop that message. I know that in the time that I've been attending online networking meetings, my message has changed. It's a lot more kind of refined. I don't try to tell people every single thing that I do now, because it's just, you know, it gets too long and the message is lost. In fact, we met at a networking meeting, and I know that that's something that you're really good at, just by the fact that the people that I've met through you, it has been really, really interesting and really good. Perhaps you could tell us if you got some tips that you would give someone about, just some general tips that you could give the listeners about coming across authentically when they're doing online networking, or how to really kind of be themselves in a way that is memorable for the right reasons.
Absolutely. It's about, before you even join a meeting, doing some homework and finding out what's expected of you as an attendee. So you have an understanding of how long you get to speak for, whether there's going to be a breakout situation, whether there's a chance to speak for a minute or longer than a minute. So it's best to do your homework first before you even join a meeting. And once you've done that, for example, then tailor your messaging and tailor your approach to that particular meeting. But always go to a meeting with the view of being an active listener, and go with the view on how you can help and support others rather than how you can say hashtag buy my stuff. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people will turn up to a meeting very fired up about talking about what they do, hoping people will love what they do, want to buy what they do, and don't actively listen to the other person. When you listen to the other people that you meet and you think about them and how you can help and support them, so that will happen for you. And I started networking way back in the early 2000s and can tell you that from experience, that when we had a little local community magazine, I went to the meeting thinking, I've got a community magazine. People will love to advertise because, you know, it's going to go out to 9,000 houses, these adverts, and, you know, we'll support them and that'll be, you know, a lovely fair exchange. But that's not what it's about. Networking is not about selling your stuff. It's about looking to create relationships. And it's a long game. It's not a quick fix. It's networking is a long game. So it's definitely worth trying out different meetings to where you get a good vibe about, you know, whether the people are a good fit for you. But it's not an overnight thing. It's about thinking of it being in terms of a long game. And indeed, here we are in 2021. The people I met back in the early 2000s, a good handful of them, I'm still in contact with today. I'll hear something, for example, something that I think is good for them, and then I reach out to them, and I haven't maybe spoken to them for 3 months. I say, hey, I was in a meeting. Somebody was saying something. I think this would be a good fit for you. It's worth a conversation. I've given them your details. That's what networking is all it's about. It's about community over competition. It's about finding a place where you feel that you're going to actively listen and others are actively going to listen and help and support you too. So it's definitely looking for a nurturing networking situation. You could literally go to a networking meeting 3-4 times a day, every single day of the week, all over the world, and you'd be absolutely maxed out. It's about finding those places where you feel, these are my people. These are the people that I feel are really looking out for me, and so I feel that I like to look out for them too,
and developing those relationships as well, you know, because it's not about quantity, is it? It's about the quality of the connections that you make and how you then nurture those relationships and see what develops from there. I mean, I've got work a couple of times from people that you've put me in touch with. We haven't actually worked together, the two of us, yet, but I know that you're a generous person in terms of passing on, you know, getting people together, and people remember that. So they're, you know, more likely to think, if I come across something that I think would be good for you, then, you know, you want to repay the favor, don't you? So it does come back to you if you think about how others can benefit and not just what you want to get from it yourself.
Exactly. And now I can tell you, for example, and it's a good rule of thumb, that if you go to a networking meeting where you have the opportunity to speak for a minute, in terms of voiceover, my voiceover expertise, if you like, that's about 150 words. So what people often try and do is they'll take a sharp intake of breath and almost, if you like, word vomit all over you because they want to tell you absolutely everything about themselves in a minute. And what happens is you end up bombarding people. It's almost like sensory overload. People can't process what you say if you throw everything at them. And we can't, you know, though lots of us have got years of experience of what we do, we can't tell people in a minute, but what we can do is give them a snapshot within 150 words about what we do. And those 150 words, if you like, should be scoped in such a way that it makes people want to continue the conversation. You know, we are touching on the fact, you know, who are we and what we do and how we do it, and who we help, and what are the benefits of what we do, and who do we want to be introduced to? And again, that's something, you know, go with the idea of thinking, who do you want to be introduced to? You know, who is a good fit for you? People I like to work with are, people I would love a connection to are. Go with the information that you want people to know. We're not mind readers. The other attendees are not mind readers. They need to know from you so that they can help and best support you.
Definitely. And I'll be honest and say that I was never somebody that really enjoyed face-to-face networking. Maybe I would if I attended some other meetings, you never know. But I really like the online format, certainly for the work that I do. It means that I can reach far more people in other parts of the world. But I genuinely like working online and like meeting people in that way. But I know some people who are listening to this will have had a lot more experience of face-to-face networking than I do. What would you say are the main things to really think about online that are maybe not as relevant face-to-face? What should people be aware of that are maybe starting to do more online networking?
Online gives you an amazing opportunity to have, if you like, some tools at hand that you wouldn't necessarily have in person. You know, we look at people, for example, when they do networking or Facebook Lives, and we think, wow, they're so articulate and, you know, their delivery is off pat. But, you know, you can have a little mind map, if you like, of what you want to say, some little sticky notes and stuff. You're in your own particular, area, if you like, your own zone of comfort. You know, you can have your setup, your computer and everything in a place where you feel you're comfortable. You know, often we go to networking meetings in person when we're trying to balance a cup of tea and stand on high heel shoes that we never actually wear, or a suit that we're maybe not comfortable in. In our own environment, we've got the opportunity to set up, you know, a place where there's, you know, the Wi-Fi is going to work, where we're going to be undisturbed, where we have some things around us like a glass of water and pen, paper, that kind of thing. But also, you know, online networking gives us an amazing opportunity for a global reach. So if we have a service that translates worldwide, the world literally is our oyster. I created a slide actually last year for a training course that I was doing with somebody about the amount of people that we could, the English speaking people we could reach. And just from the low hanging fruit countries in terms of Canada, the US, Australia, the UK, there's over 450 million English speaking people. That's before you include all the pretty little islands like St. Kitts and Jamaica, who also speak English as a first language. And that's before you include all the countries in Europe that speak English very well, for example, the Nordic countries and Holland and Belgium and such. So the ability to reach people in just a single hour, rather than, you know, sitting in your car for 40 minutes, driving somewhere for an hour's meeting, you literally have a global opportunity to reach more people. It's such an amazing opportunity. And of course, as the world opens up, why not have a bit of both? You know, go in person to where you feel comfortable, but also work online too. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and if you speak additional languages, you can even add to it, you know, like if you can.
Exactly, literally. And often I will go to international meetings where I meet people whose first language isn't necessarily English. And it's lovely to be part of a global community. Mm. It really is. And we learn from each other. And, you know, fundamentally, we have the same issues, or whether that be in German or French or whatever. We get a little bit scared of pressing all the buttons and showing up. We get a little bit scared about whether our message resonates with people. We get a little bit worried about, you know, working from home. Is the Wi-Fi going to work? Are the children at home? Because obviously, you know, we've had a bit of a global interrupt recently. So those things are still the same. But what an amazing opportunity to meet so many people globally that otherwise you would never meet. Perfect.
Mm, absolutely. I love it. Yeah. The other point that you made, I mean, I've been working from home for quite some time now, and I really do appreciate not having the 3-hour commute every day and how much more I can get done in a day through not having to travel to customers. But obviously, a lot more people have been in this position in the last year or so. And that's meant that we sometimes do a lot more talking. And I was interested in, because I know that you work as a voiceover artist as well, I just wonder if you had any tips for what we can do when we're doing a lot of talking, taking part in a lot of meetings. And sometimes I notice by the end of the day, my voice is not thanking me for it. So are there any tips you can give for looking after your voice and taking care of it and making sure that you still sound your best at the end of the day, even after a few meetings?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely not talking when you don't need to. That sounds very obvious, but it's definitely true. So
I wish
just
some people would do that.
Yeah, absolutely. But also, even things like the most important one, you know, the top tip is hydration. You know, we need to keep hydrated. So, for example, I've got a glass of water on my left. I've got a bottle of water on my right. Keeping hydrated is super, super important. And obviously things like caffeinated beverages, for example, are going to dry you out. So it's lovely to turn up to a meeting with a cup of coffee, but you know, you should be drinking as much water, if not more. But also, you know, even silly things like warming up, you know, often people will go to a meeting, an early morning meeting, and maybe they'll croak their way through their introduction because, hello, I'm not properly warmed up yet. We need to do a degree of warming up, you know, even in terms of our body and our voice. So if I'm going to an early morning meeting, for example, then not only will I drink, but I'll maybe, you know, put on a couple of my favorite songs, have a sing song. If I don't have the chance to have a chat with somebody, just to kind of warm up, just to get, you know, just to get my body and my voice, if you like, in sync. And, you know, often if I do a voiceover, I never would do it first thing in the morning, because that's not my natural voice. That's still my voice that's still waking up to the day, so to speak. So definitely lubrication is super important, but also breathing, you know, making sure that if you're going to meetings, you're not, it's easy to have a meeting and you're squidged on the sofa and you're all, you know, you're hunched down, you know, being able to sit and stretch out. I'm sitting actually here at a tall table, which is perfect because my husband's 6'4" and I'm only 5'6". But nevertheless, my elbows are on the table here and I'm stretched out. My diaphragm, you know, I'm nice and straight and tall. So therefore, my delivery is going to be clearer than if I were to bend down, you can hear my voice is going to change. Exactly. So they're just a couple of tips just to help, but just to, as I say, often less is more. It's thinking about preserving your voice and planning your day ahead. If you've got X amount of meetings coming up, then thinking during that your downtime, making sure between meetings, keeping lubricated and not overly using your voice.
Yeah, and that's something that I often say to my customers who are learning English as an additional language, you know, that the people who say most in meetings are not always the people who add the most value. I was thinking of a meeting that I was at a couple of weeks ago where there was somebody that didn't really say as much, but what they said was definitely worth listening to. And there was somebody else that probably spoke for, you know, if you took it as a percentage for more of the time, but I was thinking, what are you talking about? You know, it didn't add value in the same way. So it's not about how active you are in a meeting in terms of how much you say, but it's about the value that you add to the meeting or the contribution that you make when you're introducing yourself or taking part in networking. So it's not to be measured by how much you actually said.
It's the old adage, if you like, less is more is true. If you can say something succinctly or powerfully in less words, I mean, it's what they call those mic drop moments. And of course, as a voiceover, I would say to people, never drop your microphone because they're expensive. But it is almost that. It's actually better to say 100 in a minute message, 130, 140 words, and let that permeate and resonate than actually, you know, have 180 words, which you could squeeze into a minute if you talked at 900 miles an hour. But, you know, why would you when actually you can say something more powerfully in less words?
Yeah, and more memorable as well.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, that's been some really good tips. Thank you for all the knowledge that you shared with us today. Where can people, I will put all your links onto your page, onto the show notes page, but where can people find you and what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Well, you can find me actually via either of my websites. So if you, for in terms of online confidence and visit, that, did you hear that? That was me, that noise there. That's me pinging my glass. I'm just proving to people listening, I have indeed got a glass of water right next to me.
I have coffee.
Okay. In terms of messaging, that's masteryourmessaging.com. And if I can ever help anybody with any narration, that's lovelyvoice.com. And actually what I do with people that have wanted to create their own online courses or tutorials and they want to narrate, I'm very happy to give people ideas and tips for how they can narrate. You know, often if you're doing something yourself, I would definitely encourage people to narrate themselves because we like to marry the voice in our heads with what we read and hear and stuff. So again, I'm always happy to have a natter with somebody about that if they're thinking about something they want to narrate for something they've written or created.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, thank you for your time today. And
you're welcome.
It's been really good catching up with you.
It's lovely. Thank you, Kirsty.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.